而係我哋讀經嘅時間。 Today's scripture is recorded in the book of John, chapter 8, 31, verses 31 through 36. 我哋用中文嚟讀今日嘅約翰福音 8章31到36節。 耶稣对信他的犹太人说：你们若常常遵守我的道，就真是我的门徒。你们必晓得真理，真理必叫你们得以自由。他们回答说：我们是亚伯拉罕的后裔，后来没有作过谁的奴仆。你怎么说你们必得以自由呢？耶稣回答说：我实实在在 地告诉你们，所有犯罪的，就是罪的奴仆。奴仆不能永远住在家里，儿子是永远住在家里。所以，天父的儿子若叫你们自由，你们就真自由了。愿神祝福听他话语的人。
Well, good morning. What a privilege it is to be back here. As I begin, let me just thank Pastor Charles, Pastor Sam for the privilege it is to be able to speak from this pulpit. As you may know, this was my home church from 1992 to 1997. We started back in the L Street Church, went with the church over to Mount Vernon Place in 1993. Jean and my wife and I, we started the Praise and Prayer Ministry, and I served as a ministry coordinator there from 1997 to 1998. Now, this church certainly has played a key role in confirming God's call in my life, and it holds a special place in our hearts. And so it really is great to be back, especially to be here in the new building here. And we just pray that the Lord would continue to bless the Chinese Christian Church of Washington, D.C. So it's a privilege to see you all. And just one favor we ask of you: when you come and greet us, please remind us of your names. You will remember. Hopefully you'll remember us, but it's been a while since I've seen many of your faces. So please, for my benefit, remind me of your name. Now, when we left here for seminary in 1998, there was only the two of us, Jean and myself, but now the Lord has blessed us with three great sons. So currently, as you can see in the bio, I serve as an English pastor at the Twin City Chinese Christian Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we bring greetings and blessings from that church to you here. So as we look into God's word, let me pray for us now. Lord God, you are an amazing God. You are a God in whom all power resides, for you are sovereign, and you are the Lord, and there is no other. And so, Lord, as we gather together now to consider your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our minds, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, and speak, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, descend upon this place. Reveal yourself in all your power, and all your majesty, and all your glory, and all of your freedom. And may we experience true freedom in Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Independence Day to you. In our nation's society, few dates are as important as July 4th, 1776. For that was a day, as you probably know, when we adopted the Declaration of Independence and declared our independence from Great Britain. And in doing so, we became a free country, sovereign in ourselves, not under Great Britain's rule or reign in any way. And so now we celebrate, right? We celebrate with fireworks. This evening, my family and I, we're going to go and join the masses and watch the fireworks over the Washington Monument. We celebrate with American flags and baseball games and picnics and hot dogs and parades and all kinds of festivities. Because this is a time to celebrate. It's a time to celebrate what our founding fathers, their courageous struggle for freedom in that Revolutionary War. So freedom. What does freedom mean? How would you define freedom? The dictionary defines freedom as the power to act or speak, or think, without externally imposed restraints. It is being unrestrained, unconfined, unfettered in any way. It is the right or the capacity of self-determination as an expression of the individual will. When I think about freedom, I think about the ability to choose what you want, when you want, being in control, being able to determine your own future or your own destination. So given these definitions of freedom, are the following free or not? A citizen of the United States, free? Not free. How about a cotton-picking slave in South Carolina in the early 1800s? Or how about buy one, get one free? Is that free? How about a dog on a leash? Is the dog free? Or how about a kid on a leash? How about a goldfish in a bag? Is the goldfish free? What if that goldfish was released into a 10,000-gallon tank? Or how about a zebra in the 60,000 square kilometer Serengeti National Park? Or what if that zebra got eaten up by a lion? Is that zebra free? How about a kite on a string? Or a child within a fence? It all depends on how you define freedom, isn't it? Are you free? Let me ask you that question. Are you free? Now, if you are a citizen of America, the United States, you are politically free, certainly. The Bill of Rights ensures some very key freedoms for all of us. For example, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the opportunity to gather together here. Many of us are free in that we can freely choose to go see a movie if we want, or go bowling, or play baseball. We are not constrained in very many ways. Now, I know some of you may be thinking that my boss is a slave driver, or my teacher is a slave driver, but none of us are slaves. Like the Jews in verse 33 of this passage, John chapter 8, verse 33, we say we have never been slaves of anyone. Never. We've never been slaves of anyone. But the fact of the matter is that, yes, we are free in some ways, but we are not free in every sense of the way. For we are slaves to sin. Jesus says it best in verse 34. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And we have all sinned. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so for that matter, we are all slaves to sin. And the scary part is we do not even realize that we are slaves to sin. Because sin is so much a part of our society, of our culture, of our human nature. Many of it is blatant. Much of it is just subtle. This sin that is all around us. It is just normal to sin. Sin is like the worst narcotic. Sin is a habit-forming addiction. It's like an alcoholic. One drink, you can never get enough. And that's us. That's you and me. We are slaves to sin. Because try as we might, we cannot, in our own power, break free from this power of sin. For our sinful human nature, which is what we all have, compels us to sin. So while we are not slaves to any political system, we are not slaves to any economic system, but we are viciously enslaved to moral failure, to rebellion against the God who created us. We are enslaved by a shameful self-centeredness, an evil and enslaving devotion to created things rather than the Creator. We have all sinned. And so at our core, we are all enslaved to sin. But the good news, and I know that many of you know this, the good news is that true freedom is available to us. We can experience true freedom. We can be set free from our chains. But this freedom is only available in Christ Jesus, our Lord. For when we know the truth will set us free. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sets us free, then we are free indeed. But we are free only in and only because of Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ can pay the sin debt, our infinite sin debt, that we cannot pay. Only Jesus Christ can break the bonds that enslave us. For it is his death on the cross that gives us life and freedom. True freedom can be found only in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we remain enslaved to sin. Now, maybe you find yourself today hopelessly enslaved to, you name the sin, anger or bitterness. Christ can set you free. Maybe you find yourself hopelessly enslaved to deceitful thoughts. Christ can set you free. Maybe you find yourself hopelessly enslaved to pornography. Christ can set you free. Maybe you find yourself hopelessly enslaved to, what is it, being out of control in eating. Christ can set you free. Whatever it is, Christ can set you free. Whatever you find yourself enslaved to, whether it's this sense of bondage that you feel or this occasional dabble into sin, Christ can set you free. There is no other way to be free except in Jesus Christ. One author puts it this way: Jesus Christ not only enjoys inalienable rights as a unique Son of God, he exercises full authority vested in him by the Father to liberate slaves. Those whom Jesus liberates from the tyranny of sin are really free. True freedom is not the liberty to do anything we please, but the liberty to do what we ought. Let me read that again. True freedom is not the liberty to do anything we please, but the liberty to do what we ought. And it is genuine liberty because doing what we ought now pleases us. It's kind of like exercise. Now, everybody knows that exercise is good for us, is something we ought to do because it's good for us. But you do not really understand or know the benefits of exercising until you actually start exercising. Getting started is the hardest part. But once you do, you begin to enjoy it. You begin to like it. Doing what you ought, which is exercise, begins to actually please you and please us. Now, this is even more true when we stay connected to Jesus Christ, because he sets us free to live, to truly live. Not to live in any crazy way that we want, not to abuse our freedoms, but to live as he desires. And this is the most enjoyable life that you can have. This is the life that we have always wanted. This is the blessed life, the abundant life. So to experience true freedom, you must remain connected to Christ by holding on to his teachings. Verses 31 and 32, John chapter 8 says this. Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the key to freedom here is knowing the truth, is knowing the truth revealed in and by Jesus Christ. And when he sets us free, when we know the truth, when we are united to him, who is the truth, then we're free. We're truly free. When we let the light of the world, the light of Jesus, shine in and on us, then he will free us from our sin, from our ignorance, from the darkness, from the sin, from the chains that bind. He will set us free and we will experience true freedom intellectually, morally, spiritually. But we must hold on to the teachings that Jesus gives to us. This word hold means to immerse yourself. It means let it be the environment in which you live, the environment in which you swim. Put it into practice. When we hold on to the Lord's teachings, when we live according to the way that God wants us to live, then we prove that we are his disciples and we experience true freedom. True freedom. God's word is like a fence, not to restrict us, but to protect us. For inside the fence, God has given us everything that we need for life, for enjoyment, for blessing. Inside the fence, we are free to live and to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. Inside the fence, we can have it all. We can have the good life. But we think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And so we climb over the fence to grab hold of sin, only to discover that looks are deceiving. For sin never
satisfies.
Yes, it feels good for a little bit. But ultimately, it leaves us empty and left wanting. So God puts up a fence to keep us from the deadly dangers of sin. And this fence is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, when we moved to Minnesota, there was this flimsy chain link fence. You can kind of see it in front of that orange fence. This flimsy chain link fence that separated our backyard from this busy street that was undergoing construction at the time. And so we were really nervous with this simple chain link fence. We were really nervous about letting our kids play in the backyard because there was not much separating them from the traffic that was zipping along at 45 miles an hour. Now, since that time, the county has installed this 10-foot-high sound wall to protect us from the road noise. Now, this is a barrier, yes, but because we have this barrier now, our kids are now free to play unsupervised in our backyard because we know they're not going to get run over. Does the wall restrict them? Yes, it does restrict them in a way. But in another way, it actually gives them more freedom. God's word. God's word is the fence in our lives that keeps us from danger and gives us true freedom in life. For when we live in obedience to God's word, when we are on the correct side of the fence, we are free to run and jump and dance and slip and slide as God designed us. But if we are on the wrong side of the fence, we endanger ourselves and we will experience painful and deadly consequences. True freedom means living as God designed us to live. True freedom comes when we are connected to Christ and we are connected to his teachings. Let me close by just sharing with you one of my kids' favorite books. It's called The Flyaway Kite by Steve Bjorkman. Let me read it for us. The little red kite felt handsome. It was so proud of its shiny, fresh paint. A gentle tug from the boy who had made the kite reminded it of the string that connected them. From the very beginning, it flew higher and better than any kite ever, looping, zooming, climbing, or diving. The kite loved to fly anywhere the boy directed. The kite knew the boy loved it too. Every day, they would have a new adventure. Sometimes the kite flew so high, it nearly disappeared into the sky. Other times, it flew so fast, it would chase the birds right through the clouds. After a while, though, the little kite began to tire of these tricks. I don't like this string, it said to itself. I do not want to be controlled by the boy. I want to be free. The kite began to pull and tug at the string that connected it to the boy. Finally, the string broke. And the kite was carried away with the wind. I'm free! I'm free! It shouted. But the little kite did not fly or loop or zoom like it had expected. To its great surprise, the kite discovered it was not really free after all. You see, kites cannot fly unless they are connected to their owners by a string. It just fell from the sky, blowing wherever the wind took it. But the boy followed it. Oh, no, the kite said as it crashed into the top of a jagged stone mountain. The boy climbed the mountain, but the wind blew the kite away. Help, it cried as it tumbled down through the snow and rocks and was caught high in a scraggly tree. The boy climbed the tree, but the wind tore the kite from the branches. Ouch, the kite shrieked as an eagle snatched it up and began to rip off pieces to use for its nest. The boy came upon the eagle just as the wind took what was left of the kite and tossed it over a cliff. Save me, the kite gurgled as it was thrown headfirst into a rushing river. It rolled over and over and smashed against the boulders. The boy followed the kite, but it was washed far out to sea. Cold and frightened, the little kite sank deep into the ocean. The boy dived down to get the kite, but a shark carried it away. A fisherman caught the shark and saw the kite. He just laughed at the sight and threw the ragged thing away. The battered kite sighed with relief when the boy found it in a dumpster. He carried it home. You are safe again, little kite, he said. I have you now. The weak and tired kite lay quietly on the workbench as the boy carefully cleaned off the seaweed and slime. It was comforted by the boy's loving hands as he patched and repaired it. Step by step, the little kite began to feel beautiful once again. When the work was done, the boy carried the little red kite up to their favorite hill and said to it, "I made you to fly high and free, my little kite, and as long as you stay connected to me, you always will." With a gentle tug on the string, the kite floated up into the breezy sky. If you had been a bird flying by and had listened very carefully, you would have heard the little kite answer the boy and say, "Yes, this is just where I belong." To live, to experience true freedom, you must stay connected to Christ. To live life as God intended, you must stay connected to Christ. Otherwise, you are just subjected to the whims of the wind. You are blown around, and you find yourself exposed to the dangers of the world. You and I are designed to stay connected to Christ. And we stay connected by living obediently to God's word, putting this into practice. And when we stay connected, we are free to soar and to reach our full potential in Christ. And that is true freedom. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me pray for us. Almighty God, you are a gracious God, for you have given us the key to life, and that is by staying connected to Jesus Christ through your word. You have set us free from slavery to sin. So, Lord God, we say thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this July 4th, this Independence Day, we can celebrate true freedom in Jesus Christ because he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. He gave his life for our life that we might live and we might have true freedom. So, Lord, I pray for these brothers and sisters that you would enable all of us to stay connected to you and then to experience the true freedom, the abundant life, the life that you have always, that we've always dreamed of, that we would experience that to its fullest. And, Lord, bless this church. May you continue to use this church for your glory, to change lives for eternity, to advance your kingdom for your glory. We pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.